We ready? 9:30. We have been discussing what it means to be in the faith. I've been on this about a month. Verses 18. We started in Matthew 24 before the destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus looked at the temple. Not one stone will be left on top of another one. That's all coming down. The temple worship will be gone. Food laws gone. Animal sacrifice is gone. There's a new day dawning. Everybody needs to repent. So what he brought was the faith. God dreamed it up before the cosmos got here. We'll look at that in a minute. This basically is the last lesson. You say, let's see now. What kind of mind would write that the author of our faith, that's the one who dreamed it up, and the perfecter of it, how it would go down and how it would happen, and that would be done ahead of the cosmos being put here, and then you, Adam, being created, and Eve, you got a male and a female, so a fellow will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, male, female, takes two to tango to get another one. Anything else is not going to work. Now you say, well, a little, you know, in vitro, whatever they call it, you get sperm out of that one, put it over that one. Yeah, but you say, if that's the only way you're going to get humanity and be fruitful and multiply the planet Earth, it's not going to be very big. It's going to be a small place. So you have to have procreation. That's the design of it. How in the world did some guy know how to write that down 2,000 years ago, that it all happened in the mind of God before any of it got here? You're a pretty good thinker to dream that one up, right? It's too grandiose to be dreamed up. So the faith comes 2014 years ago. The author and perfecter of it comes down in flesh. Jesus, the one through whom the cosmos was created, he shows up. Most people in the world reject that outright. You said the one through whom the universe was created, through all things were made through him, becomes a human? Are you nuts? Most people say, the Shintoists, the Buddhists, the Muslims, no, sir. We've read their story and we've read our story, the biblical one, and we said, mighty big event, but you know what? What if it's true? I'm sure of what I hope for because I see a 6-foot hole coming up. You say, are you sure of what you hope for, that you would love to go beyond that? I'm sure of it. I'd like to get beyond the grave. How about y'all? You sure of that? Would you like to live beyond the grave? Are you sure of what you hope for? I'm sure I would love to come forth from the grave. You say, can you scientifically? I just got this God that came down in flesh and beat death. I'm thinking, that's the only thing I've ever read that will beat death. I'm certain. Now that I've looked at the archaeological evidence and the historical evidence, I'm thinking, this could happen. I'm certain of what I don't see. So I go forth, and that is my message. God's become flesh. Oh, really? Yep. He's removed all your sin. Are you saying I'm a sinner? Big time. Immorality. They say, you don't have the right to tell us we're immoral. I said, it's just a sin. And the teeth gnashing starts. So we are in combat, one definition says, as we go forth. That's all of us. If you got this thing down to just showing up here one time a week, going to the house, goodbye, Joe, I'm out of here. What are you? Who are you in combat with? Your woman on what you're fixing to eat? To fight for. To compete for. I'm giving you the Bible verses on what contending for the faith. To debate for. I tell you one thing, you know, you have your arguments, you know, crawl out of the ocean, yeah. To hold to. Hold on to it. Or you'll miss it. You'll wind up without it. We contend that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. That is our contention, our studied opinion. If we are mistaken, we're going into a grave never to be heard from again. If we are correct, good call. So, I left off in 1 Timothy last week. You say, as you go forth contending for the faith, is it possible that you can blow this deal and lose your part of the faithful? Yeah. I'll start in where I left off last week, 1 Timothy 4. This is a little text about some people showing up and telling you, for whatever reason, you cannot get married. If you're a man, you can't get married to a woman. Or if you're a woman, you can't get married to a man. We're passing a rule from now on, you will not be able to get married. 1 Timothy 4 says, the Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith. You say, a fella who tells you you cannot marry someone of the opposite sex, he's abandoned the faith. Don't listen to him. They follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Somebody tells you you can't get married, or you can't eat carrots and Brussels sprouts. You have to eat meat. No, you don't have to eat meat. You want to eat carrots and Brussels sprouts? Get after it. You say, am I free to eat all the vegetables that I love? Yes, sir. You say, I don't have to eat meat. No. You say, well, what about the people who eat meat? Don't badmouth them about them eating meat either. You want to eat meat and very few vegetables? Get after it. You want to eat all vegetables? Get after it. You can't tell someone you got to get off the vegetables and have your little fresh deer meat. No. They don't have to eat deer meat. They don't have to eat squirrels. They don't have to eat beef. They want to eat vegetables? They have every right to. You say, can I be single and celibate, and do I have to get married? No, sir. You don't want to get married? Don't get married. But I can't command you not to get married. If you decide you don't want to marry, I said last week, ain't no doubt about it, it's cheaper. I'm just saying, some of these, hold on to your pocketbook when you sign the dotted line. That's been my experience. You say, did the Apostle Paul cover this? Teachers who tell you they've abandoned the faith. Now, you say, what do? Their conscience has been, they forbid people to marry, and they order them to abstain from certain foods. Now, you think this is not serious. You say, well, that's not good. They don't go on, you know, in later times. That was written in the mid-first century. You say, that kind of stuff doesn't go on now. What are you talking about? I've never heard such hullabaloo over food since I've been on planet Earth. You're like, you have to be careful to bind a rule about food on someone. And you really better be careful if you start telling them you must be celibate. I'll make you a bet that for the rules put on the guys and gals who are told they can't marry, I bet you a lot of trouble comes from that. What do y'all think? You say, what happens when you tell a bunch of women you can never get married to a man? And what happens to a bunch of men you tell them they can never get married? You make them be celibate. I wonder if there's a lot of, a lot of immoral things that happen from that teaching. What do you think from your observation? Huh? A lot of trouble. So the Apostle Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it's good for a man not to marry. I think I just said that to y'all. You don't want to get married? Great. Don't get married. But since there's so much immorality, now that was the way it was at Corinth roughly 2,000 years ago. I have a question for y'all. How much immorality do you think is going on 2,000 years later in and around your neighborhood? Just off the top of your head, would you say, if you want to be celibate, go ahead, but there's a lot of immorality going on around you, dude. Would you be lying if you told someone that, or would you be speaking the truth? Huh? Are they immoral from where y'all are from? People around you? Since there's so much immorality, listen carefully, because we're fast getting to a point in America where we're saying, I ought to have every right, according to the woman in Houston, ladies, to come into your bathroom. How y'all doing? Y'all all got your powder out in the Maybelline, putting your face, getting all lined out, and I'm walking up in there among y'all, hey, what's happening, lady? And I walk over there to wherever it is you take a leak. And they say, now that's the kind of society we want. Let the men just come in there with your mother and your wife. Boy, that's what we ought to go to. See, there's really no difference between a male and a female. Let's just all go to the same bathroom together. That'd be cool. I mean, that is really being enlightened. Have we gone down that far? You know what the answer is? Yeah. I go in and say, I want all you girls from Texas to know, down in South Texas, that this is the last dude you're going to ever see come into your restroom while you're putting your Maybelline on. I stay out of women's restrooms. I go to the men's restroom. Al told me yesterday, all these women livers said, you talk about a idiot, a jerk. That dude says he thinks it's a big deal for him to come in our bathroom. You talk about low-down, sorry scumbag. He's not coming into our bathroom. I'm like, what? The women's livers are mad at me because I decided to stay with a man's bathroom. They're mad at me about that. I'm like, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife. You say, what's he talking about? Sex. And likewise, the wife to her husband. Sex. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. I wish the people who passed Roe v. Wade would have read this. Well, it's my body. I can kill the child that's in my body that this guy over here made along with me. But it's my body. So if I want to take my child out of my womb, I'll just do so. Because it has nothing to do with the guy who planted his sperm in me. It has nothing to do with that. A wife's body does not belong to her alone. It does take two to get the child in the womb. Right? What does the husband have to say about this? They said, he doesn't have anything to say about it. If I want to kill him, I'm going to kill him. 55 million, I think, and counting. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not, you who are married, do not deprive each other sexually now, except by mutual consent and for a time. Honey, what about it? No, wait a minute. I think the time is right. Well, I don't. Well, both of you got to make a decision about that with any yeah on it. Mutual consent. You don't get any, period. That's entirely the wrong attitude. According to the Apostle Paul, read 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You say, this comes under the heading of how you get messed up in the faith. Don't deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again. Don't deprive each other and keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. You're asking for trouble. You're acting like you're celibate and you have your own woman and your own husband under one roof. But you're acting like you're celibate. You self-impose that on yourself and you say, what happens? You need to come together if you've decided not to have sex for a while. Or Satan, so that he will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. You have to be careful when you fool with that, ladies, gentlemen. You say, better use my head there. Sex is a wonderful thing inside marriage. You say, you need to exercise that wonderful thing. It'd be your call on how much and how often. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Read it. I know this. I can't bind, neither can anyone else, certain restrictions on food. Everything God created, I'm back to 1 Timothy 4:4. Everything God created is good, meat or vegetables, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. You want to go all vegetables? Do so. You want to go all meat? Might already throw you a few vegetables in that dude for a few vitamins. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because it's consecrated by the Word of God in prayer. Point these things out to the brothers. You'll be brought up in the, look, in the truths of the faith. Well, that's what we've been talking about for a month. You say, it comes down to things like, can I eat only vegetables? Yeah, no problem. Can I condemn someone for eating meat? No. They like meat. Let them eat meat. You're free. The kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, foods, food laws. That's all over. Be aware if your brother is a vegetarian, you say, don't just say, well, all we got here tonight, you know, is a bunch of squirrels. You say, what are you going to eat, honey? Throw some sides in there and let the woman eat her vegetables. It'd be a good thing to do for your sister, right? Fix some veggies. She eats only vegetables, no problem. We should not condemn or be harsh with one another over food or food laws. The second one, I'm just giving you a little recap. 1 Timothy 5, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, we mentioned last time, and especially for his immediate family, you have kinfolks, they're in a bind, and you're not helping them. You've denied the faith. You say, you're worse than an unbeliever. Your kinfolks, some of them starving to death, you want to reach out and help them? Are you nuts? You have to look after your blood kin. Also, in 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. If we have food and clothing, verse 8, 1 Timothy 6, 8, we ought to be content with that. People who want to get rich, you get it on your mind that you just got to be rich, and you start cutting corners, little shady deals and all that. Well, they fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. You say, a lot of money, there's a mighty throng of them. They bit the dust because of money. I always say that it can't remove your sin. Money can't. And it can't raise you from the dead. You say, better not put too much hope in it. That's right. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money, listen, have wandered from the faith. You say, what got them? Why did they fall away? They just turned the love of money, they turned money, and it became more important than the one who died for them, the author and perfecter of their faith. You say, money became more important than the death of Jesus on the cross. Yep. Money became more important than their being raised from the dead. They wandered away. The Apostle Paul said, they pierced themselves with many griefs. You, and this is my word to you, flee from all this, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and endurance, and gentleness. And watch, fight the good fight of the faith. And one of the fights you will have is that long green. You say, am I content with a little? Or am I always singing the blues because I don't have enough? And I want to get rich and show everybody what I'm all about. And he finishes that up. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, the last part of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Turn away from godless chatter, opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. I think of political correctness. I wrote it outside that. Which some have professed, some of y'all even here on the brother and sister, you get into this politically correct crap and you start expounding on things. And I'm like, did you read that in the Bible? No, but you know my neighbor over there. It's falsely called knowledge, which some have professed. You want to get into political correctness? What can happen in so doing, you wander from the faith. Well, I mean, just because I vote for a person who's for the murder of children, I mean, that doesn't mean I'm part of it. I mean, that's who I'm going to vote for. You say, is he for ripping fetuses out of wombs? Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm just, and you put yes on the dotted line. You're saying yes to this guy or this woman? Well, yeah, I voted for him, but I really don't. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only practice these things, perversion and such, but they approve of those who practice them. I would just read the platform. I would read the men who are running and women, and I would say, if there is blatant sin that there are, I'm not voting for them. You say, but Phil, government legislation trumps the Bible, doesn't it? It's the other way around. You don't shed innocent blood, ladies. If you do, you sin. You say, can I be forgiven? Yes. But don't go around saying you can shed innocent blood. The government says you can. What's your problem? God says don't do that. Don't kill your children while they're in your womb to the tune of 50 million. No country is going to stand that onslaught. No country will keep going when they do that to their own young. We're going down over that right there. You say you can't kill your own offspring. 50 million? And on top of that, throw in, what's the difference between a man and a woman? So they legislate not only murder, the government legislates perversion. Well, it just starts down the line. You say, what's the last thing left standing? Religious liberty. And thereafter that, too. You agree? Boy, you're not going to believe what happens when I'm not free to do what I'm doing here today. Exercise freedom of speech and talk to you about sin and the love of God and the faith. You say, they will monitor it and they will take it away. It's happened worldwide over and over and over and over and over. Tyranny comes in and you say, we lost our country, our freedom. We shall see. I'm not voting for that bunch that oppose the Word of God. Are they in opposition to the Bible? I'm not voting for them, ever. I think you wander from the faith when you do so. Just my opinion. Now, 2 Timothy. The Apostle Paul said this. Let's see. Mark this, middle of the first century. I wonder if he knew what he was doing. Alabama, let me know when my time is up. How long? Oh, well, good night. There will be terrible times in the last days. It's 2,000 years almost since that statement was made. Ever since Jesus came, Hebrews 1:1, we've been living in the last days. You say, how far are we into the last days? Over 2,000 years. You say, this thing's going to end. That's what the Bible says. It'll end. But mark this. Let's see if the guy who wrote to Timothy mid-first century, let's see if he was right. This is old writing. How old is this writing that you're going to read to us? 2,000 years. People will be lovers of themselves in the last days. You know anybody who's a lover of themselves? Huh? Lovers of money. Is there anyone in the United States that you know of who love money? What do you think? Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Disobedient to their parents. These days, we've just accepted the fact that there'll be gangs running around in the street, you know, shooting up the place. We just kind of say, well, you know, it's America, right? We've accepted that. What do y'all think? Do these children, 18 years old, 16, 17 kid, they ride around in vehicles shooting up the place, their neighborhood. You say, do they have parents? Where's mom and daddy? You say, oh, yeah. It takes two to tango. You say, they have parents somewhere. But we just say, hey, what are you trying to say? That if you raise them right and discipline them and love them and teach them and train them, they won't drive around shooting each other? That's what God is saying. We just say, gang warfare. I mean, you're upset about that? I'm like, they're killing each other. It's like you can do something about that? There'll be terrible times in the last days. So far, this is beginning to add up. They're disobedient to their parents. They are ungrateful. I wish I knew the exact percentage of human beings who are thinking, who will say, Lord, Lord, you sacrificed yourself and you made the cosmos and you became a servant even to death, and you never made a mistake so you could save us. 3 days later, you guaranteed dead men can live again, and women, Lord, thank you. all of this money leaving Washington, D.C., trillions. We've spent trillions trying to help our neighbors. I've never heard people who get the government checks, the rednecks down there where I live, the blacks in the inner cities, you say, how many times have you ever heard them say, thank y'all for giving us that check every month? Thank y'all. You can answer. How many times all this money being doled out, all the entitlements, do they seem thankful to you? All colors. Is everybody saying, boy, whew, if it hadn't been for y'all, I couldn't have made it. Thank you so much. Do they seem happy towards you and grateful to you? It's your money, right? Y'all have been very generous as a nation to your neighbor. I wonder why there's so much friction. I don't get it. In the last days, no matter how much money you give them, they're going to be ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving. I mean, here I am. They say I'm a racist. I'm like, a what? I said, you're a racist. I said, I believe in one race, the human race, dude. Anybody can get married in my yard. I don't care what they look like. Slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. That's the way it's going to be in the last days. Have nothing to do with them. They're the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women. These dudes are up to no good. They're loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desire, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. And as old Johnnies, I guess you would say it, and John Breeze, I looked at them up. You say, well, would you ever find anything about them? No. In the days of Moses? No. All it says is they oppose Moses. You say, what were they opposing him over? I'm not quite sure. They oppose Moses. So also there'll be people in the last days who oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. So there is a responsibility and an accountability that we all should have before God and each other as we move forward in the faith. They won't get very far. They'll find out about them. The Apostle Paul ends up 2 Timothy by saying, I have kept the faith. That's 2 Timothy 4:7. I fought the good fight. I hope you can say that in the end. I finished the race. That's why I told you it's like a race, like a war, like a fight. I have kept the faith. You say, is there a reward built into it? Big reward. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me. You say there is a prize for finishing the race. You will inherit what God has. That'd be everything. I'm going to, like a planet full of just woods. Just a planet of woods and living things. I must confess to you that I am a fellow who harms animals and birds. I harm them. And then I eat them once they have been harmed. I harm them, and then I cook them, and then I eat them. It's biblical. It's just not politically correct. You decide which way you're going to go. Well, I don't think that old boy ought to go. He's hurting little bitty animals. Oh, I do worse than hurt them. You said, well, you're a mean old man. Really,
Do you see how this thing goes? That's how you go right there. Some of you ladies, oh, well, I don't think we ought to kill. Have you read your Bible, sister? Well, yeah, I know God said it was okay, but I'm just... What is your beef? You see how these things cause problems? You say, well, I wouldn't kill a little animal. I love you. Great. You care if I do? Well, yeah. I said, well, wait a minute. I don't care if you don't kill animals, but you do care if I kill animals. Yeah. Where did you get that from? Well, I'm not quite sure, but I just don't think it's right. They got it from politically correct people, depraved men. They're telling me, I can't eat meat. You say, where'd that come from? Demons. We've covered that today. See how serious it is? Don't be bad-mouthing someone if they say, well, I kill animals and eat them. Don't be bad-mouthing them. You say, where's that coming from if I start bad-mouthing people because they kill a squirrel and eat him? That's coming from the devil himself. You'll lose your faith. Lose your soul over it. I read you that. Titus, my true son in our common faith. Alabama, when we get ready, just shut me down. 5 minutes. If you're an elder, you know them, must hold to the trustworthy message. And he gets over toward the end of that. Greet those who love us in the faith. And finally, where is it? Hebrews, I'll end with these two, and then we'll have to move on to some other study. Hebrews 4:14. First, I'll end with this. Listen to this. Since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, that'd be the one who became flesh, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly, listen, to the faith we profess. That's been my whole point up to this point. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. All of you are still going to sin, even though you're following Jesus. You say, are we going to make some mistakes? You're going to make some mistakes. But boy, look, our high priest, he sympathizes with you. He knows you're going to make mistakes. He says, look, I demand two things. Trust me and try. And when you make a mistake, I have sympathy. We have one who's been tempted in every way, just like us. You say, that's why he became flesh. So you couldn't say, well, you don't understand what I'm going through. He says, yeah, I do. I was tempted like you, but I didn't succumb like you did. But I'm going to die for you anyway. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. He never messed up. Turns around and dies for your mess ups. What a God. Let us then approach the throne of grace. Listen, with confidence. You people in CR listening, you say, I can approach the throne of the grace of God that removed my sin, my drugs, and alcohol. I can approach that with confidence, knowing he's there to sympathize for me, saying, get up, and let's go again. Well, I blew it again. Get up, let's go, over and over and over. And if it takes to the day you die and are put in the grave, so be it. We all make mistakes. Don't think there's any goody-goody types around here that never sin. We all sin, right? We all need a Savior. Just keep getting up and let's go. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy. We don't want justice. We want mercy. And find grace to help us in our time of need. He's there always saying, I'm not going to leave you. Get up, Phil, get up. It's when you fall and you stumble and say, nobody loves me anymore, so I'm out of here. Don't abandon the faith, dude. You'll lose your soul. Stay put. Stay put in the faith. We're trying to help you, dude, lady. Come on, come on. Well, you know, y'all pried into my life. We love you. We're like family members here, blood kin. We have to look after our blood kin. You have the same blood of Jesus on you as I do. We're family here. Come on, let's go. Therefore, I'll end with this. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, what about all the ones who have died before us? Whatever happened to Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Elijah, you like Enoch, David, Samson, Barak, Gideon, you know, what happened to them? They're all saying, come on, come on. You're not going to believe where you're going to end up. Come on. That's what the text says, Hebrews chapter 12. We're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. The men of old, the hall of faith, he just got through with that in Hebrews chapter 11. What if they're witnessing what's going on? I guess they're looking at what we're going through, right? Since that be the case, let us throw off everything that hinders. You smell whiskey and you say, I just got to get drunk. I got to drink the whole bottle and I got to do it now. You're like, so it's you're going to throw up. Then you're going to feel terrible the next day. Need to break that cycle, dude. Everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Is it easy to get tangled up in sin here, ladies, gentlemen? Is it easy? Tell the truth. Huh? Pretty easy. You say it's everywhere. Oh, I'm telling you. Look. Let us run. It's a race. With perseverance, the race marked out for us. It's a race to the finish line. That's what the faith's all about. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Listen, the author, he dreamed it up, not you. And perfecter, he did the dying. He was the one who was raised from the dead by his great power. You say, it's all God's doing, nothing of ours. All we're doing is saying, can I get in? Come on, God says. He's the author, Jesus, and perfecter of our faith. All the work's been done for us. All we have to do is come join God and each other and just do what's right. Who for the joy set before him, that's what we're now experiencing. He could see us saying, some of them believed in me. Some of them have followed me to the death. Look at the ones who say, thank you, Lord. Some of them believe it. Who for the joy set, he endured the cross for my sorry hide and yours, scorning its shame. What a way for God to be strung up naked. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinful men. Oh, I'm considering him because I'm just getting a little bit. And I'm thinking, whew, Lord, they really persecuted you to the death. He said, yeah. They're going to hate you too, Phil. I said, yeah, looks like it. So while you're running, consider him, Jesus. Look what they did to him. So they're running their mouth against you, brothers, sisters. So they run their mouth. Does that really bother you? Consider him who took all that up so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Father, thank you for portraying our faith as a race, as an event, as a war. Thank you, Father, for showing us that it is, in fact, the way we live our life every day, wherever we are. Father, please help us not to confine our following your Son, Jesus, in you. With the help of your Spirit, help us not to confine that to the four walls of a church building, because we're missing the point if we do. Help us to go out and about, proclaiming as one man the faith of the gospel. Help us do that, Father, because it's the only thing that changes the hearts of men, the gospel message. Nothing else will do.
Empower us, give us boldness, Father, without fear to go forth. Thank you, Father, for giving us an eternity with you. It is an exciting thing, Father, to know that you have removed all our sin, you constantly keep us cleansed, and you will raise us from the dead, and you will be our Father as a family forever. Thank you, Father, for that great hope. I pray this in the name of Jesus, because he's the one that perfected the whole thing and really went through a gruesome death for all of us. With the help of your Spirit, Father, that guarantees all this will happen. Amen. All right.